Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Think back over your life for a moment and consider all the churches you've ever been part of. If you were moved by the Spirit of God to write a letter of encouragement to the one church which has been most helpful to you in your spiritual growth journey, which church would it be, and what would you say to them that would help them know how significant they have been in your journey with God? Perhaps as you think about that, you may find the Spirit of God stirring you to do exactly that. Can you imagine how encouraging it may be to that church to receive your letter? Join me again back in the great Greek city of Corinth in about 51 AD, as the Apostle Paul has taken up his writing stylus and he begins to write a second letter of encouragement to the first Christians in the Macedonian city of Thessalonica. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Pause. Look closely at the church you are currently part of, no matter where you live in the world. Could those same words be used to describe your church? If not, why not? More importantly, do those words describe you and me and our spiritual journey? Do you see the words growing faith and increasing love? Are those fair expectations for a healthy Christian and a healthy church? Is there measurable spiritual growth happening in you and your church? If yes, why? And what are the evidences? If no, why not? And what are the implications? What would Jesus say if I asked Jesus those questions about you and me and the churches we are part of? I'm sure those words from Paul were very encouraging to the Christians suffering persecution in the great city of Thessalonica. Paul wanted those people to know God was watching. Paul wrote, "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In all of us, there's a desire to see honest, holy justice when our world is filled with so much corruption and injustice. Isn't that true? From ancient times, this theme of God eventually judging the world with his holy justice has been a hope suffering people have held on to. In this case, Paul was very specific. So let's take a closer look. Paul wrote, "This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. God will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. Do you hear three specific aspects to Paul's teaching about this future holy justice of God? First, do you see Paul describing when this future justice judgment by God will take place? In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian Christians, he had described the return of Jesus Christ to resurrect all deceased Christians, giving them new, glorified heavenly bodies. In that same moment, all Christians alive will be transfigured and taken up to be with Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. This future event is often called the rapture of the church and joyfully anticipated by all Christians. Later, Paul's letter to the Corinthian Christians gave further resurrection explanation in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But this future miraculous experience is not the judgment Paul is describing here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. For life on earth will continue for all who are left behind after this rapture. What Paul is describing here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 is believed by most Bible scholars to be a different, even further future, powerful return of Jesus Christ to planet earth. This triumphant return of King Jesus Christ, accompanied by his great army of heavenly beings, is described in several scriptures, including Zechariah 14 and Revelation chapter 19. In this second return, King Jesus will defeat God's enemies, and Jesus will establish his kingdom reign here on earth for 1,000 years, reigning from Jerusalem. At the end of that millennial reign will come a final judgment experience called the Great White Throne, at which time all who have not accepted God's offer of salvation will be forever judged and sent to their place of separation from God, hell, according to Revelation chapter 20. Second, do you see who Paul describes will be judged and punished by God with this return of victorious King Jesus to earth? Paul wrote, God will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are clearly all peoples from all nations who have not responded to God's loving invitation to know him or God's redemption offer through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Third, do you see Paul's description of what type of judgment these people will receive from God? They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. God's ultimate judgment for those who have refused God's offer of salvation, made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus, will be their everlasting separation from God. The word Jesus used for this everlasting punishment is perish, according to John chapter 3 and John chapter 10. Now, it's important we understand that perish destination is the logical, earned destination for all who have refused God's invitation to relationship with him and his salvation. It is not God's anger. Jesus explained it like this: God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. John 3, 17, 18, and 36. Let's pause right here and reflect, my friends. Do we understand there are yet two future returns of Jesus to our planet, and then Jesus' earthly reign in his righteousness? Do we see God's patience in giving our human race time and almost endless opportunity to embrace Jesus and experience God's rescue from our sin condemnation? It's important we thank God for his love and his patience with us. And I'll be here ready for you and chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians tomorrow.